From Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was because on account, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Pleased to have one of Blue Mountain College's finest volleyball players with us today, Miss Sage Blanton. And as she reflected upon their game yesterday, she shared with us right after the game, she said, "Well, our coach came into the locker room after the game, and he threw his clipboard and he said, 'I'm so upset, I just want to lose it, but I'm not going to.'" He'd already lost it in some ways. And why he had lost it was because they had lost the game. But beyond just losing the game, they had lost against their rivals, the despised Bethel Wildcats from McKenzie, the nemesis of their college community. So it is with many of us who have rivals. We want to beat them, don't we? We want to win. It was Al Davis who once said, "Just win, baby." That was what it was all about for he and his Oakland Raiders under his leadership. And so it is in our culture. So much of what we participate in, whether it be athletics, politics, work, rich and poor, social groups, our opinion of music, or whoever our favorite NASCAR driver is, there's often competition and things that divide us. There's your side and my side. There's, if you win, then I may not win. And that, dear friends, we certainly know something about, of creating divisions in our life. So much that we seek to win or prevent from losing is challenged by those who are our opponents. We see that in our culture. But you know what? If we're not careful, those same divisions can creep into our church. It's nothing new. The church has known something about divisive issues since, I guess, there's been a church. You know, the Apostle Paul spoke about this. It was so prevalent, divisive issues in the church, that Paul wrote a letter to the church in Rome. And in chapter 14 of that letter, Paul says, he says, "Don't quarrel over disputable matters." Or I like this translation even better. "Don't quarrel over your opinions." He said, some people think you should only eat vegetables, while other people think you can eat food that was even sacrificed to pagan and pagan rituals. He goes on to say, some people see this day as the Sabbath, and then others see only this day. Some people think it's okay to drink a little wine, while other people think it's sinful. And Paul went on to say, don't get wrapped up in these disputable matters. He said, focus most importantly what unites you in our faith instead of what divides you. And the one who unites us, he would say, is Jesus Christ and the saving grace that he gives to us freely through his love. That was the message that Paul preached to the church in Rome, but I think that this passage and many of the other teachings and ministry of our Lord Jesus inspired that way of thought for Paul. You see, Paul heard this message of Jesus, whereas our scripture says today he was passing through on the way to Jerusalem. He stopped in Jericho, and there his trip was interrupted. It was interrupted because many of the believers in that area had embraced divisive issues of the faith. They looked at those who were in cahoots with Rome, those who were known as tax collectors, as their rivals, their enemies. They looked at those who had great wealth, perhaps, as also those who were preventing their very ability to a better way of life. And as they looked upon this wee little man, as the old Vacation Bible School song called him, they saw a sinner. Do you remember that little song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord that he wanted to see. But as the Savior come passing by, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. Aren't y'all glad I didn't sing it? For I'm going to your house today. Such was the alienation of Zacchaeus, but much greater was the grace of our God that claimed him as one of his own. You see, I think Jesus is teaching us today. I think he's saying to us, as he said to the people in Jericho that were grumbling and ostracizing and judging Zacchaeus as sinful, he was saying to them, he too is a child of Abraham. For you see, there's another Vacation Bible School song I learned. And it went like this: Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. You see, the essence of those nursery rhymes reminded me that more than anything that would ostracize and alienate Zacchaeus from the faith, the unifying love of our Lord through Jesus Christ puts us together. For we are all children of Abraham. We are all, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, included and welcomed into the family of God. But what happens, I think, when we embrace those divisive natures? We see the destruction instead of the restoration possible in the church. You know, I read recently that barnacles, those little animals that place themselves upon piers, barnacles, those little sea creatures that attach themselves to ocean-going ships, that barnacles limit the capacity, the movement of an ocean-going ship. They restrain it or slow it down by as much as 40%. so concerning is the United States government of the impact of barnacles that the U.S. Navy spends $500 million every year removing barnacles from their ships. Now, why would they do that? We see they've come to understand that barnacles are destructive. Not only do they slow the movement of the ship and the very movement of the army, but they can destroy engines and hulls, and they've come to understand that barnacles destroy if they're not conquered and taken away. You see, friends, I think Jesus is saying to us that the grumbling in our church, the stumbling that we place before others, is also destructive. And I think that's why our Lord says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. There's more joy and celebration over one who repents than over 99 who needed no repentance. He's saying, I think, let's keep the main thing of the faith. You know, often I'm thinking of scriptures that says, don't be a stumbling block to another. But as Paul wrote in Romans 14, he said, do not judge your brother or sister, and in essence put a stumbling block for them seeing the grace of God. He's saying it's our judgment. It's our looking at the neighbor with the speck in their eye when the plank is in ours that limits their seeing God's love and acceptance of them as children of Abraham. You see, the main thing of our faith, friends, is captured in this text today. When Jesus says, the Son of Man, hear me now. He says, the Son of Man came for this purpose, to seek and to save those who are lost. Friends, that's the essence of the work of our Lord. May we never lose sight as His messengers that that is our first and foremost priority, to embrace the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations, and to remind them that He is with us always. You know, when Luke was a young boy, I think it was last year, no, it was longer than that, he had a lot of growing pains. Do y'all remember growing pains? I shared this with some of you before. And, oh, they can be excruciating, can't they? And Luke was having some major growing pains one night, and he was whimpering and crying and gotten into our bed. And I did what any good daddy does. I laid there real still hoping nobody would think I was awake. But his mama did what mamas do. She got up and she went to the bathroom. She got a bath cloth and she heated that bath cloth. And she brought that bath cloth back and she placed it on his leg. It was just one leg. And she massaged it and soothed him and got him real easy. And then when she thought he was back to sleep, she whispered real quietly, "There, does that feel better?" And he burst out crying and said, "That was the wrong leg." You know, if he could have thought of it then, I know he wanted to say this: "You had one job, Mom. You had one job to do." Friends, we have one job. As the Church of Jesus Christ, the first and foremost focus is for us to introduce the world to the saving grace found in Jesus Christ. For in Him is life eternal, and in Him is our most joy-filled existence even now. So may we go make disciples. May we create and enhance the celebration of our God in heaven and on earth as we look not to those who are sinful among us, but look to those as in need of a Savior. So when they look at us, do they see one who stumbles, one who grumbles, or one who is humble, seeking to share the love and the grace that saved us and inspired us to share with all around? Let's pray. God, we are grateful that through you there is the gift of life. As Jesus went out of his way and sought Zacchaeus and said, "I must stay at your house," that's the call upon our life, to take Jesus to those in need. And as we bow this day, if there are any who've never claimed life in you, may they even at this moment come to understand in a way that they never had before that all we do to receive the gift of being your children is to admit that we need a Savior, that we are sinful, but yet we believe that you were without sin. And you came into this world as Jesus the Christ to embrace our sinfulness and conquer our death forever. In a way, maybe for some of us gathered here today, we've come to see your saving love in a way we never have. And we call out, maybe for the first time, the first time in a long time, that God, will you receive my life? Will you come into my heart, being my Lord and Savior, are renewing the joy of my salvation? We surrender to you, O God, that you will make us more in your image, giving us, yes, life eternal, but even more abundant life as we serve you for your glory even now. In Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, if you prayed that prayer in a way you never have before, then beginning with your life with Christ is that simple. Visit with me or someone you respect in the faith and say, "I have begun my journey with Christ as my Savior, but I want to grow as His disciple. Will you journey with me as we seek to serve our Lord for His glory?" And now, as those who are children of God,